Unlike Reverend Longacre, I need something to lean on and something to read from. Dear congregants of New Life, it's with joy I stand before you to encourage you in your service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God has revealed his plan for us through his word, and it is wonderful, it is incredible, and it's life itself. To know God's will and do it, what a wonderful thing. So today, Keith has been installed as your pastor. For most of you, he's a familiar face, and he's been your associate pastor for quite a while. Me personally, I've called Keith pastor and friend for more than 16 years. So what has changed today, and how might you respond? So I would ask you to consider that at this exact time, in this exact place, the Lord has placed Keith here for his plan and his purpose, to feed and grow and love you, his sheep, and to serve God's profound and incredible purpose. Your role as congregants in Christ's church tops anything and everything you'll do in this world. Your ministries and service to the Lord take place in your family time, in your workplace, and every interaction you have with others inside and outside of this building. But Keith has a profound responsibility to the Lord and to you as you serve our wonderful Lord and those people he places in your pathway. So Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8 say, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And in verse 17 it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." From Timothy 1, 5, 17, and 18 it is written, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain,' and 'The laborer deserves his wages.'" We need to remember the warning of scripture concerning those who teach from James 3, 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This Keith has accepted on your behalf." And Jesus says, "He who receives whoever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." When a man is placed in the rule of a local church, our submission and obedience to him reflects our submission in obedience to Christ. So three specific things I would charge you as this wonderful congregation. One, Jesus commanded us to love one another. So I ask that you love Keith. That is, be patient and kind. Don't envy or boast. Don't be arrogant or rude. Don't insist on your own way, and don't be irritable or resentful. Never be happy at wrongdoing, but be in true joy with the truth. In your relationship with Keith, bear with him, believe with him, hope with him, and endure with him. Two, Jesus taught us to pray. So I ask that you pray for Keith. To the Colossian church, Paul wrote, "Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." Then he similarly charges the congregant believers, "And pray for us. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Prayer involves teamwork. Paul prayed for them, and they prayed for Paul. And three, Jesus taught us to look after the needs of one another. So I ask you to seek out and fill the needs of Keith and his family. In Luke, Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where there is no thief, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." And of course, Keith will be doing the same things for you. So those are the three specific charges. And while I'm here, I want to share some secrets about Keith that you may or may not know. And of course, the only one sweating more than me is Keith right now. So the first thing you need to know about Keith is he's not perfect. But we kind of knew that. Keith has feelings that can be hurt. Keith can't read your mind, but he's eager to listen and share. Keith is quite an athlete in the way Paul described in 2 Timothy 2:5. He competes for the Lord as an athlete. It's a wonderful thing. He is knowledgeable, faithful. He's a humble servant. He knows Pepper is a gift from God. Pepper is a personal friend of mine as well. He is quite a husband to Jeanette. He's a friend to many, even me. He mentors many, even me. And finally, he loves the Lord. And while being a pastor is a blessing, it is a tough job with many daily tasks and challenges. Being accountable to God for a flock in itself is consuming on a 24-hour basis. So I would ask, please be sensitive to that and respect his time off in the hours of the day that most of us are sleeping. But I've also learned over the years that there is another tough job in the church, and that is being the wife of a pastor. These are the ones serving behind the scenes and tirelessly, and they're invisible. Please love Jeanette and keep her in your prayers as part of Keith's family and your family. So in closing, as in the beginning of this charge, I urge you all to stay on fire, or as Paul said, fan into flame, your zeal for the Lord. In this context, you need to know the scripture and the Lord's expectation of Keith, but also your responsibility to Keith. Persevere in your service and look forward to the day when we hear by God's grace, well done, good and faithful servant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Father, we thank you for your incredible love and grace. We would pray for this congregation that they would know you and serve you and reflect your light and love in this place and forever. And we thank you for Keith's service, Father, and we ask you to keep him in your charge. And we ask this, and we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, then, we'll open our hymnals to number 347, The Church's One Foundation.